My hesitation was definitely there because I'd heard about Tantra and it's this mystery because there's so many things it could be.
We need to practice the doing until the doing becomes non-doing.
And then there's also schools that we consider like the lower chakras, sex, sky dancing, Tantra. We consider, you know, concluding the whole self and really a lot of heart-centered connection.
Welcome to episode 45 of Super States, Practices of Transformation with me, your host, Joshua Peters. Super States is the podcast that explores the connection of trance states with personal or professional growth. In each episode, we talk to world-class experts, to industry leaders and revolutionary thinkers who share the latest information and tools along with their personal stories that are there to inspire us along on our own journeys. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast host, or you can subscribe on YouTube so you can stay up to date with new episodes. And if you enjoy this show, please consider giving me a 5-star review. That is the best way to help the show grow. In today's episode, I speak with Sarah and Thomas Stout. Sarah and Thomas bring a wealth of knowledge and experience in creating deeper relationships and enhancing joy and ecstasy in life. We'll explore their journey into Tantra, the profound impact it has made on their lives, and how it can help you on your path to a more connected existence. This was a great conversation with a really interesting topic. So here we go, exploring Tantra for personal growth with Sarah and Thomas Stout. Welcome to Super States. I'm here today with Sarah and Thomas Stout. Sarah and Thomas, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Joshua. We're happy to finally meet you and get on your podcast.
Yeah, we're really excited to support this audience that you've got, you've developed, that cares about evolving and having more ecstasy and joy in their life.
I mean, who doesn't want more ecstasy and joy? Or who shouldn't want more ecstasy and joy?
Right. Not everybody knows it's accessible.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to have this conversation with you. Sarah and Thomas, I always like to start the show with the question, how did you get to this point? Like, what is your origin story on how did you find Tantra?
Well, it's an interesting story. We had two sons and we were very focused on them for their growing up. And at a certain point, I realized they're leaving, you know, they're moving on. And we're going to be rattling around in this house by ourselves. And how could we be closer? What could we do to inspire our love life, our intimacy, you know, once that major distraction is gone? And so I started looking around on the internet for couples retreats and different forms. And, you know, and I'd share them with Sarah. I'd say, hey, Sarah, how about this one? And she'd look at it and go, oh, no, not that. That's really, I can't do that. That's too weird. And I'd look again and I'd share another one. Oh, no, not. And so the story went on for a while. And finally, I found a couple named Lokita and Steve Carter who were teaching at California at a place called Harbin Hot Springs. And Sarah was like, oh, I like their interaction as a couple. I think I could do that. And so we went for a weekend of sky dancing Tantra for our 20th wedding anniversary. And by the end of, you know, I felt a little bit like I was dragging her across country, but she went. And so by the end of that course, so much change had happened in our lives. We felt closer than we'd ever had before. It felt like we were a honeymoon couple again. You know, it was just a radical difference. Mm-hmm. And so that was like, wow, if a weekend can do this, what could more experiences do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, my hesitation was definitely there because I'd heard about Tantra and like many of you probably have. And it's this mystery because there's so many things it could be. And so I really needed to feel a sense of trust in the teachers and the facility and how they held it, and that that has been something that's important for us as teachers now. But that going there and diving into these deep practices of connection, of love, were amazing. I felt so much closer. And what I also discovered was my own inner energy body that woke me up. I felt like I lit up like a Christmas tree that I never knew about. And I'm like, why don't they tell us this when we're younger, that this is possible? So I have this whole inner dynamic life that I can now tap into that has really made a difference for me, besides the connection that we have. And then we can bring that into our sex life. We can bring it into just how I see the world. You know, when I step outside, it's so vibrant now. It just sort of makes me almost cry with the beauty of the world at times. And I feel closer to my kids. They can see the softness and closeness.
So there was one time when our son, I think he was about 20 years old, maybe 19 at the time, he picked us up from the airport, and we'd been going to Harbin for a few times now to work on skydancing, to learn skydancing. We'd signed up for the teacher training and things like that. And so he was driving us home from the airport, and he said, I don't know what it is you're doing at that nudist camp you go to, because Harbin is clothing optional. And so it's, you know, it's possible at the hot springs that you could be naked. And he must have done enough research to know that that was a possibility. So he says to Sarah, Sarah's sitting in the front seat with him, and he says, so I don't know what you do at that nudist camp, but I can tell it's good for your relationship.
Oh.
And it's like, wow, a 19-year-old kid is noticing this. It was just, it kind of stunned us that it was that obvious.
Yeah.
And so then Sarah says, well, would you like to hear about what we do? And he goes, no. No, I don't want to know.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You don't want to know about your parents, and that's good boundaries. Yeah. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to support the right timing if people and kids want to know.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily want your parents to teach
you. That's a pretty funny story. Can you tell us a little bit about what Skydance Tantra is?
Sure. You want to start, or shall I?
Yeah. Well, the first question is Tantra is because Tantra can be this mystery word. Like, there's lots of different kinds of yoga. There's lots of different kinds of Tantra. And Tantra can have schools that are very meditative, very upper chakra thoughts and in deep, quiet meditation. And then there's also schools that we consider like the lower chakras, sex, and let's just get wild and be free and radical, and that this school, Skydancing Tantra, we consider, you know, concluding the whole self, the and really a lot of heart-centered connection and listening to our whole bodies. And so it does include the mind, includes the sex, includes the heart of how we want to live our true life. And Tantra is also a path of deconditioning. So it's that authentic truth of who we are, not the idea of who we think we're supposed to be or how we were raised. It's pausing enough, slowing down enough that we get to say, what is me in this? What is my self that wants to come through?
And so Tantra is this Sanskrit word. And like a lot of Sanskrit words, it means a lot of different things. And the definitions have changed over time. Especially as India was adapted by colonial English, and, you know, things changed. But even their history, we've been studying with a scholar about the ancient Tantra, the classical Tantra, and there's so many different definitions. One of them means to weave together all the elements of your life into a harmonious whole. Mm-hmm. And so, because that's the overarching definition, and to let go of your cultural conditionings, you can see how some Tantra schools focus on the upper chakras, some focus on the lower chakras. And we feel really fortunate with Skydancing that it's focusing on all of them. And then the other thing I wanted to mention real quick about chakras, I was a massage therapist for 40 years. And for 40 years, I heard about chakras. people would talk to me about their chakras, this and that. And I thought, oh, what a bunch of hooey. You know, I just thought it was, you know, like, oh yeah, right. And, but that first weekend we were at, all of a sudden the chakras landed in my body in a different way. Mm. And that's one of the things we love about Tantra is it's a body-based spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, Sarah is talking about all this energy she feels and how it lit her up like a Christmas tree. And so she's in one of our exercises, one of our practices, we get into the fifth chakra, the sixth chakra, mm-hmm. intuition, the knowingness, all that. And she's over in one side of the room and she's envisioning a room full of people dancing joyously, mm-hmm. undressing, you know, just, you know, in ecstasy.
A room full of love and bliss that was just there. Yeah. And it felt like I was seeing part of my future. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I'm on the other side of the room pulling out all the garbage messages from my dad. It's like, get out of my head. I'm tired of you. Go away. Go away. And so our two experiences with Tantra are so diverse, and yet under the umbrella of Skydancing Tantra, we both fit, and it works for both of us.
Yeah, it helps us wherever we are in our growth pattern, and not that it's linear, it's just the path of awakening. And so in that moment, mm-hmm. that's where I was, and other moments I'm pulling crap out of my head or embracing the sides that have been hard to love. And and that's I think another thing about our story is that it's really taken me to feel acceptance in myself, is to let go of the judgment, the critical self, and to receive the love that's there, whether it's through my partner, my husband, or for myself. And that can kind of sound like a cliche, but it's in those environments where we're seen in our challenges, our difficulties, and our ecstasy, and loved for it, that allows us to have that. And unless we have those opportunities, we never test that part of us. We never really say, wow, this is me, and look at how others accept me and I accept me.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we could. Can I segue off of that a little bit?
Yeah, please do.
So, one of the things, because of my family history, that I have struggled with for a long time is what I call my itty bitty shitty committee. This voice in my head that's always yammering at me, telling me, oh, you didn't do that right, and you should have done this, and why'd you do that? It's going all the time. And we started our Tantra journey in 2011, and I started therapy before that. And so I've been working on this aspect of myself for a long time. Finally, this year, in 23, I had a breakthrough, and that itty bitty shitty committee has gone quiet. Mm. And there are some times where I'm like, where did it go? What? And, you know, I still hear voices every now and then telling me what to do, but it's so much less. And for me, that's one of the huge benefits I'm getting out of these practices and studying and doing things even repeatedly, that allows me to grow and expand as a different kind of human being than where I started.
That's pretty great. Pretty amazing that you've shut those voices down.
Well, quieted them. They come up every now and then, but mostly.
Yeah, but they didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned Skydancing, Tantra. Would you like to hear what is Skydancing? Name? Because many people think it's a dancing workshop.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what where Skydancing comes from and what you have to share about that.
I love how you used to tell it.
Okay. Well, Skydancing comes from our teacher, Margot Anand. And Margot Anand, in her very first sexual experience, 17 years old or whatever, she was in Paris, and she has this sexual experience where she literally leaves her body, and she's, you know, in such orgasmic bliss that she's not even present to the physical reality. And it was such an ecstatic experience. Afterwards, she's like, wow, what happened? Nobody ever told me about this. And how do I get more of it? And so Margot Anand started to become what she calls a bliss hunter. she started going around the world looking and studying various traditions and Tantra and Kudoshka and, you know, all sorts of different possibilities. And even the Western side of psychology. And she was at the Sorbonne. She graduated with a degree there. She ended up at an ashram in India put on by Osho. And Osho really helped open up her intuition, her chakras, gave her experience that set her life on a different path. And so then she wrote this book called The Art of Sexual Ecstasy. It was published in the early 80s. And that's become kind of a manual for a lot of people in the Tantra world. But at a certain point in one of her deep meditations, what happened, you know, she's meditating, she's trying to connect with a greater power than herself. I have to backtrack a little bit and tell you the story of this person. His name is Padmasambhava, and he's known as the second Buddha. And he's very revered in tantric philosophy as a very wise person. It's said that Padmasambhava brought tantra to Tibet, Nepal, in that area. And he was a tantric master in the 600-700 era. And so in Margot's visualization, in her meditation, Padmasambhava came to visit her. And he chopped off the top of her head and he started pouring in all this information about tantra and this and that. And she was just like, wow, it's amazing. And so she had this connection with Padmasambhava even before that. Padmasambhava was, like I said, in the early 600, 800s. And he at one point wanted to go deeper. He thought, okay, my work here is good, but I'd like to do something more. And so he went into his deep meditation and he encountered a Hindu goddess. And she said, I think that'd be a good idea. And let's make it happen. So over a period of time, she incarnates as a vehicle, a person. And that young girl grows up into of age. And so Padmasambhava and she, her name is Yeshe Tsoigwell, and she and Padmasambhava become tantric partners. And one of the aspects of tantra is to sit typically heteronormatively. The woman sits on the man's lap and the man's penis is inside the woman's yoni. We call it a yoni instead of a vagina. But anyway, they're in sexual union. And they go into this deep meditative state in sexual union and project out into the cosmos. And it was said, this is a long story. I hope this is what you wanted me to tell. But it was said that Padmasambhava and Yeshe Tsoigwell were seen sky dancing all around Tibet and Nepal and in the Himalayas. And so because Margot had this affinity with Padmasambhava and she created this continuing lineage with him, and she called her version of Tantra sky dancing.
I love it.
That's in a nutshell, but it's longer than maybe, I don't know, you know, there's a lot of details to pull in.
Well, it's really interesting how when you open yourself up to these ideas and energies, like Margot had that download essentially of all that information just by going into that meditative state and, you know, with the right person in the right place at the right time. And there it all is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what one of the gifts I've appreciated is I do feel like I'm getting downloads all the time. When I've opened myself up to these energies, I feel like the universe is supporting me, guiding me in my life. And all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, I've got this workshop. What am I going to do? And this book will be like over here and it'll pull out and there'll be a quote. There'll be a chapter exactly what I need. Or driving down the street and feeling like I got to go into this store and it's telling me what in my life I've been looking for in some way, you know, something I'd be like, oh, great. I hate shopping, but now I don't need to. The universe is shopping for me. If I just listen to it and take care and open up to it rather than have my own busy agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's,
you mentioned some practices. Like you said, you've been kind of doing a lot of practices. Can you give us, and you did just give us an example of one. What are some simple practices that that people who are practicing sky dancing, if you can share them, that someone could start with?
Yeah, that I can speak a little bit to that. One of Margot's things that she was known for, along with Alan Watts, is that together they identified the three keys to ecstasy. And you'll hear them all around the world now. And those keys are movement, breath, and sound. And so if there's areas of your life you're really stuck in, is to use that to move, to breathe, the sound in a free way, not in a necessarily controlled, structured way. And so we use that a lot in different ways and different shapes. So then there's also like a specific breathing practice we do is opening the whole central channel of the inner flute, is her word for it, like, because it has those seven energy centers like a flute that represent the different aspects of ourself. And so we can do this whole sexual breathing practice, and it's in her book, The Art of Sexual Ecstasy. And that itself has is to me the instrument of connecting to the higher world, the altered state world, and that we can really learn to play that flute, awaken it from the sexual energy. Tantra is often associated with sex, right? Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it includes sex and it doesn't exclude it. But to me, that's like the engine of where we really power ourselves. And then we spread it throughout our body and go into the higher chakra area and awaken the sexual self. And through that practice of sexual breathing that brings the pleasure throughout the body, that opens up the channels of knowing and developing that inner listening.
You asked the question about practices, and we were in a workshop with Margot, and somebody had that exact question. They said, why is skydancing so full of practices? Why are there, you know, why do we do this practice and then that practice and this practice? And it feels like you're more focused on the doing rather than the being. And Margot said, well, we need to practice the doing until the doing becomes non-doing. And then the practice, you'll get the fruits of the practice. And you'll benefit by that repetition until it becomes really second nature and unconscious.
Yeah.
And so, there's a lot of practices that we, and oftentimes for us, we're like, okay, which practice should we use now? And which one fits this audience best? And where should we start?
Yeah. And maybe you'd like to know kind of the main two tools of Tantra. Would that be helpful?
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Besides the three keys, we got the two tools.
All right. We got three keys and there's two tools. What? Give me the two tools.
Movement, breath, and sound. And the two tools are awareness and vitality. And it's the awareness is our consciousness. It is. Where are we bringing our attention? Because energy follows intention, as we all learned. And so if I'm focusing on what's not going to go well, guess what happens? If I'm focusing on what's going well, or if I'm focusing on the pleasure in my genitals, that's going to go well. If I'm focusing on bringing it through my body, and where else do I feel it? So it's that the practice of awareness and really cultivating that, including the inner awareness of what is guiding me in my life.
And that practice of awareness is oftentimes what is focused on in meditation classes. Like any of the Vipassana meditations, they sit quietly and they focus on that awareness, you know, dropping out of the conscious mind and expanding to receive new information, new silence, you know, that sort of beingness.
Mm-hmm. And the other tool I talked about, so there's the awareness tool and vitality tool, and the vitality of is the energy. So it's learning to cultivate the inner energy. We don't need to look outside ourselves for the answers and the peak experiences when we've got this tool inside developed. And that's sexual breathing practice is one of them that really can help that and becomes the rocket fuel to engage with life.
Mm-hmm. And you want to tell the story about the vitality without awareness?
It's like the remote control. Was that what you're saying? Yeah. So those two tools, if you imagine the remote control car, the ones where you've got the battery and it's got your little remote and you're driving it around, where is if you don't have the control, the vitality is like the car going on its own. It doesn't have any pattern, any direction. It's just going wild. And if you're all in the control and no movement, you're not going anywhere in your life. So that's really the life's balance that we're living every day. But to bring those tools into a conscious and mindful, directed path from yourself, not necessarily from the outside world. Don't let the outside world be your driver. Bring it inward to your greater knowing.
And the other aspect of Tantra that I want to just focus on is that Sarah mentioned it before, we do include sexuality as part of life. And if you notice other spiritual traditions, religions, you know, I don't want to say anything negative about them, but they tend to say, oh, that's great for making babies, but don't talk about it. Don't, you know, it's like, yeah, do that in the privacy of your own room, but not here. Whereas we'll talk about it and we'll guide people. How could you use the energy of sexuality to increase your vitality, your life's energy, to get more out of life? And it's not a thing we hide and put in the basement. It's a thing that we actually make use of and talk about. Now, in our workshops, there's no explicit sexual activity, such as intercourse and anal sex and oral sex and things like that. But we can use our hands to create spaces and opportunities for people to open up and heal some of the trauma that happens in the pelvic floor, because it does. I mean, even just falling as a child or getting spanked or having issues going to the bathroom. And then as you grow up, there's other traumas that can happen. I mean, women falling on the balance beam and then sexual traumas and, you know, all sorts of possibilities. And so one of the first trainings we do, the love and ecstasy training, is focused on healing any of the injuries that have happened to the pelvis, the pelvic floor. And then once that basement, if you will, is clear and cleaned up, then things can start to flow up from the earth through that pelvis and start to vitalize and energize the rest of the body.
So get that foundation firm.
Yeah.
Solid. Yeah, exactly.
So it can carry the rest of that energy.
Yeah. And for us, without really cleaning that up, it's a little bit like Sarah's example with the car running around and, you know, there might be great vitality, but it's not organized or it's not solid.
Mm-hmm. And we do weekend workshops also where we teach the sexual breathing. We do the basic practices of dropping into that inner listening to have the skills of awareness that many of us weren't taught. And so that comes first before the week-long love and ecstasy training that he's talking about, but then kind of clearing things out after that.
It really sounds like you're learning to find inside of you your own strength, really, your own energy, and then letting that just kind of flow through you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Tantra is also from this Sanskrit word. It used to mean people would leave scriptures, little writings around the countryside for other people to find of insights they've had. And those were called tantras. And so people's philosophy could be put into a paper and then left someplace for some future person to find.
Mm-hmm. Or kind of like a tantric.
What's that, Joshua?
A tantric fortune cookie.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, and philosophy of living, or Tantra can be tools for expansion too, which is really where this is the path of awakening. The body is just the beginning.
Well, I, you know, from my experience, we can spend a lot of time up here and have a lot of ideas about how things should be, but if you can't ground it in the physical world, it's just kind of mind games that you're playing. So when you're when you're learning to feel that energy in the body, that that is when real shifts for, like you said, Thomas, like you're getting rid of the, you're quieting down those thoughts. When you can feel this in your body, now you're starting to have some real movement, right? As to one of those keys.
Well, and great that you're picking up on that, Joshua, because one of the, I don't want to use the word tool because it's already linked to something, but one of the ways we do things is we slow things down. So if, for example, I want to connect with Sarah and I just reach out my arm and, you know, wrap, she didn't have a choice really. But what I might do is I might turn to her and we might connect. Just slow down a little bit right there. And I might...
synchronizing our breathings. This comes naturally now.
And then I might say, would you like to hold hands? And I'd put out my hands. I'm trying to get it high enough so you can see it in the video.
And I pause and I really even enjoy that offer, that request. That what a gift to have someone who wants to connect with me. And then notice inside, do I get excited and find that anticipation coming, or is there quiet? Not right now. And I can always say that if so.
And I've made the offer, but I'm pausing and noticing how she responds, giving her space to really respond authentically. Because if she says, no, I don't want to do that, it actually helps me trust her yes when she says yes later. So this pause is extremely important.
And then I can slowly approach and then just notice with my awareness, when am I holding hands? Because I can already feel his presence there.
I feel it there.
The heat, the tingly. And then, you know, maybe that's all I want to do. And we're about 3 or 4 inches apart yet when I'm feeling him.
It's getting warmer.
Yep, warmer. And as I move slowly moving in, this actually right now feels like great. About 2 inches. What is it? About inch apart. And if I wanted to touch him, I could touch his aura. I could touch his skin. And with that awareness of continuing, whether it's verbal or nonverbal, to find that yes of our desires.
And another concept we use is what we call leveling. So I might want to actually make skin contact, but Sarah is wanting to make energy contact, which is at a different level than skin contact. But if we really honor the person that has a different level, a lower level, shall we say.
Tighter boundaries.
Tighter boundaries. You know, there's lots of ways to describe it. If we honor that person can feel safer and more open to the other possibilities. But if I go, oh, I don't like this, I want to hold hands and do this, then it set her off and I've ignored her boundaries. And so there's all of that consent part that is like the ground floor of sky dancing tantra and what we do in our workshops.
What I get from that is that idea of trust. Like that is such a core, it's a core piece that gets forgotten so much or missed just by life happening. That when you don't have it at the levels that you're talking about, it's hard to really have a powerful, intimate relationship.
It reminds me so strongly of a workshop we did last year. We had an African-American man, 25, 26-ish, attend. And, you know, we're open to everybody. We feel like we would welcome the diversity. And he was the only African-American man in the room. And at the end of the workshop, he said, I didn't know I could actually feel safe in a group of people. And it just brought such tears to my eyes that he was able to feel more safe in this group of white people than he has in his, you know, regular life.
Well, and the fact that he was able to share that even Yeah. It's even more so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that trust and trusting. Trust starts with yourself of listening enough to know that, you know, if he grabbed my hand, that I could take care of me too. He's not overriding me. I just like, okay, what do I need? What's right for me? Or then when I feel that trust, I do sink in, and the intimacy is so much deeper, is so much richer, and a lot more yeses.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I'll call it misunderstandings about Tantra.
Oh, really? Tell me.
What would you say is the most misunderstood aspect?
Well, I think one of my hesitations was people thought it would just be a wild sex orgy and that unconscious, or that I wouldn't be able to be myself and in whatever form I wanted. And actually, the very essence of what we consider skydancing is being yourself, is listening. So if we get no's to certain practices, if we get somebody making an adjustment because, you know, there's an option for taking a layer of clothing off and they don't want to do that, that's, they're doing Tantra. And so that's, it's not a wild, unmanaged environment in the Tantra that we understand.
What's the
other myth breakers?
Well, yeah, and Sarah touched on it. I think that there are schools out there that are predominantly sexual, and it's great, you know, because sexuality is so repressed in our culture. It's great that to be celebrated, but there's so much more. I mean, that's great, and there's more. So for me, it's challenging to know that Tantra is associated with, you know, an orgy kind of atmosphere. But I also get it. When we were repressed this much, you just want to burst all the bonds and be completely different. Mm-hmm. And then our culture has for so long been so heteronormative. So it's got to be a man and a woman married, and we've got to burst those bonds too. And there's all sorts of different flavors of relationships that come to Skydancing Tantra. We've had lesbian couples, we've had gay couples, we've had trans people, we've had, you know, every possible imagining of people, and they feel more welcome in our environments than they do in the normal society. And that's great too.
A lot of relationship configurations, and our workshops are open to people that come on their own or in a relationship combination.
Yeah,
that's important to say, because if you come as a solo, for us, it's a little bit like we'll teach you a movement or a practice, and you'll practice it by yourself. A little bit like if you went to a social dance, cha-cha or waltz or foxtrot, something like that. You'd learn the steps all by yourself. And then you'd practice, like if I was a man in the social dance, I'd practice with Mary. And then I'd practice with Judy. And then I'd practice with Ellen. And, you know, I'd rotate through the whoever was in the class. And then I would do a deeper practice with my partner at home. And that would, all that learning I did by myself and then with other people inspires what I can do here. And so then we view that when you're in a Tantra workshop, if you're solo, you have the opportunity to practice by yourself. You have the opportunity to practice with these other people, so that when you are with the partner of your dreams, you can really go deep with that person.
Mm-hmm. And you sort of mentioned female names.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
so can I speak?
Yeah.
We are open to all relationships, and that it's also about yourself. So if we're sitting across breathing in a practice with anybody, how am I supporting myself? Whether it's the same gender, all genders, a couple of people, non-gendered people, that it's really important to support the expression of sexuality also.
Great. And if so, say somebody is just really super interested in everything that you've talked about, and they want to try a technique with their partner, what's the simplest technique that you could teach us?
I would say it's kind of what we showed you. If you're with a partner, but if you're by yourself, you could just slow down and do this breathing that I'm about to teach. You could look into a mirror, if you're by yourself. If you're with somebody, and it could be anybody, you just turn and you pause. Yeah, make sure you're comfortable. And then we take a deep breath together. Another deep breath. You might notice we're starting to make a little sound as we exhale. So just that, you asked for how you could start, it's like, give yourself a moment throughout the day to connect with your partner or with yourself, just like that. Just set a timer, because we're all so busy with our computers and our jobs. What would happen if you, I'm sitting a lot. What would happen if I just stood up every hour and took a deep breath? I'd feel so much better throughout the day. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, Josh. No, what I saw you do, and I'm going to just describe it because not everybody's watching this podcast, but basically Sarah and Thomas faced each other, did some eye gazing. So just kind of looking into each other's eyes, and then you just breathed together, like an in and out, kind of making that sound as you were synchronizing your breath for like three breaths.
Yeah, so it's quieting down the noise. And the more we were together, the more I felt connected with him, that there was a closeness, but also some space to kind of just let myself feel instead of do. And I could feel myself, my heart softening. And that's another thing you could add is just coming into your heart too. Mm. If there's things, your heart wants to say, notice, I'm noticing the sparkle in your eye, and it makes me smile. And I'm noticing my body softening as I breathe more with you. And so that you can check in with your body, you can check in with your heart. That would be like a layer two if it feels like you want to do something after a while of just being.
And that's one of the things that really separates Tantra from meditation techniques in general, is that we're really focusing on the body awareness and noticing that my body wants to move. I'm not going to sit still like in meditation for an hour. I need to move. I need to stretch. I need to, there's something alive in me, that vitality. How can I express that vitality? Or just noticing sensations and softening any kind of rigidity and moving down into the body.
Awesome. I love all those different tips, tools, techniques, whatever you want to call them.
And we can't stress enough that it really starts with you, not a partner. I mean, a partner's great and awesome, but so often we're by ourselves and we're just, how could you love yourself more? How could you soften into who you are even more? How could you be aware of more of your body?
Yeah, that may be one of the other tips is people think they need to have a partner to do Tantra. Nope. Even when he's not available, we have a weekly Tantra practice and I'll do with myself if he's out of town or...
Yeah.
Are busy working way.
What do you see as like what's making you excited about the future? Like we hear a lot more about Tantra, about all these different types of processes for connection, for growth. What's making you excited?
Oh, this is an easy one for me. Because our world, I think, wants something more, especially in our sex life. I think we are excited as a culture to let go of a lot of the rules about what sex can be and yet wanting it to elevate, to rise up and evolve. And that I anticipate Tantra will be really growing in popularity in these coming years. We used to have there was a point where we got a coffee shop on every street corner, and then we have yoga studios on every street corner. It used to be this weird thing, and meditation, how it's so everyday culture and communication, and Tantra is moving in that path. And my excitement is it'll be a Tantra that really represents that these skills of who we can be and have our ecstatic life. And so I'm excited to be a part of that and share it, because I believe tantras and sex, happy and joy and ecstasy, is our birthright. And as I said, I wish I'd learned it earlier and younger, because I can't imagine, you know, if my feet would even be on the ground, or I'd be dancing in the sky now every day. But
you'd be sky dancing.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited about that.
So one of the quotes that I love from Margot is that, it just flew out of my head.
I don't know which one. Ecstasy.
Shoot, how did I forget that? I had it so strongly, and then I was in the conversation and totally forgot. It's
So is there something you're excited about, Thomas?
I'm tracking it and seeing. I'll get there in a minute. I'll take a few deep breaths and see. If it comes back.
Meant to come. Yeah. Maybe your words.
Okay. Well, if somebody wants to learn more about you, Sarah and Thomas, what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, we have a website. We'd be happy to have you check it out, see what classes we have coming up and workshops. It's called Love Passionately. That's our school, Love Passionately, School of Mindful and Bodyful Intimacy. And that, so lovepassionately.com is a website, and that you can also email us if you have specific questions, and that's connect@lovepassionately.com. And let's see, we are, we've also been studying this long enough, we become directors of Skydancing Tantra Institute, which is Margot's USA representative of her institute. She's got institutes in other countries, and we're the US directors. And so you would find us through that organization too, if you're looking up Skydancing Tantra. That's where we teach other teachers and offer the love and ecstasy trainings through that.
Okay, it's a little bit out of place because it segued right off of what Sarah was saying, but I did remember.
Okay, let's hear it.
Margot Anand says that we live in an anti-ecstatic conspiracy. So much of our world is orchestrated to keep all of us in line, good little citizens, good little workers, good little students. Only raise your hand if you know the right answer. You know, don't step out of line. Be in line and be, you know, like everybody else. And so she has proclaimed that she wants to start the ecstatic conspiracy. And so that's really what we feel like we're part of. We're helping people to get out of these cultural boxes that they've been put in by school, by society, by family, and really be in their true nature, which if you look at a young child before they're really affected by the adults around them, they are ecstatic. They're just giggly and laughy, and I mean, some of the most watched videos on YouTube, there is some child just giggling for no reason, you know, and just having fun. And that's our true nature. And that's where we're trying to guide everybody towards.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time today, Sarah and Thomas. It's been really a great conversation. Eye-opening.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. I really enjoyed it, Joshua. It's been sweet. I love your inquiry and your support of giving these opportunities for people to find their own path and whatever it is, to find something that speaks to them and follow it.
And we'll have to get you in a workshop. I mean, you're not too far away.
We live in the same general city, so let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.